You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with director Bren Hodge. Directed by Hodge, The Holy Game shines a light on the most unlikely soccer tournament in the world. Within the walls of the Vatican, as a group of priests from around the world vie for sports glory, so too must they navigate their reasons for joining the priesthood and the pressures and controversies that follow. In this one-on-one, we speak to Hodge about what he thinks about the nature of calling and the humanity of the clergy. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish.
Yeah. Hey, how are you, Steve?
Good. How you doing, Brent? Thank you so much for chatting.
Of course. I'm so sorry about that. I had a call that just went long. You know how it is. The Zoom calls, I feel like it's like we love, for a while there, I was like, this is going to change my life. I can be anywhere for a phone call. And then now the problem is you're everywhere for a phone call. Like anyone can get a hold of you at any point. It's tough. It's tough. The Zoom things, I almost wanted to go back to normal. I don't know about you if it's like made life easier.
Oh, well, I mean, like you said, it's had its pros and its cons. I had a friend say to me recently, they said, you know, it's changed the way we view time. And I said, well, what are you talking about? And he said, well, we were meeting at 1 and I looked at my phone and it said 12:57. And I thought, I've got 3 minutes. And which from his perspective, like he's someone who's always wants to be on time. And it was like, yeah, that's interesting because normally he'd be driving or just arriving and it's sort of like, oh, I got a few minutes. But yeah, you're right. Like it feels like we're always accessible, but we're always on.
Yes. So where are you located?
I'm in Toronto. Well, I'm in Newmarket. I'm outside Toronto. I was just going to say, you're in Canada. Where are you?
I'm in the US right now. I'm in New Mexico right now filming, but my fiance is Canadian and I'm Canadian. And so we moved back during the pandemic. We're in Mississauga.
Okay.
I don't know if you know, and this can be part of our conversation. I do a lot of pop culture documentaries. So yeah, I've really fit into this very odd world of like comedic docs, which not a lot of people do. And docs have become super popular. You know, they've really separated and there's sports docs and nature docs and science docs and you name it. But and murder docs have become a big deal. No one was really doing comedy docs. And so I really took it on as like a, you know, I want to be like the Judd Apatow of this comedic doc world. And we did the Chris Farley documentary. And I always said that that's my Muhammad Ali. And then we did Freaks and Geeks, the history of Freaks and Geeks, which I was like, that's like my Ken Burns Vietnam War. and then Holy Game came up because we're like, what does a sports doc look like for us? What is like a Haji Films, Haji version of a sports doc? We did the Pistol Shrimps, which is about Aubrey Plaza's rec league basketball team, which is really funny. And then this one came up and I was like, this is such a weird world. Like there's priests within the Vatican that play a tournament. And I know nothing about priesthood. I know nothing about why or how they play soccer. So I went and checked it out and I was super surprised that it was like young, like sort of GQ good looking priests. I was like, I just assumed they're going to be like bald and fat Friar Tuck, like looking guys. And I just was like, there's a film here. There's a film where we can probably tell the story of Catholicism and religion and why you would dedicate your life to God in a sort of interesting pop culture way. And we can follow a soccer tournament while we do it. And that was our version of a sports doc. That's why we did it.
Yeah, it was really interesting because actually I'm glad you said that too, because in some ways this is much more a story of the priesthood than it is even about the soccer tournament.
When we, I'm trying to use I always filter puns. I was about to say when we kicked things off and you're like, but it's true. When we kicked off this doc, I was like, it's going to be 90% soccer. And when we started meeting these guys, I realized it's only going to be 25% soccer. This is a story of these guys. And they're like 20 something graduating from college. And we've all been there and we can relate to that. You don't know what you're going to do with your life. You kind of are going to miss this. You just don't know what's next. The difference between my life and their life is their life is a life of God. My life is just whatever I wanted to do next. And so I really related to them and got to know them. when they take off their priest outfit, their clerical and everything, they look like us. They're just normal guys. And I just really got in there, and the soccer became kind of this sort of like the second story, the B story.
It really is interesting that you say it that way, because that it feels that way. And I don't mean that it feels unimportant, because it seems to be very important to them. Like this, I think at one point they mentioned that they want this to be recognized the world over.
Yeah.
It's clergy tournament.
Pretty ambitious. This, you should go see a soccer game. I mean, they're okay. They're not, this isn't a World Cup championship, but these guys are, yeah, they want, you know what it is? They want to connect the Catholic Church with the world. I think that's in a different way than what's currently out there. Cause what's currently out there is very bleak. And so it should be, because of some of the stories, you know. I don't think this is like an unjust conversation to have. It's, but they're humans, and there's a lot of humans within this institution. And that is something we wanted to show as well. It's like, and if they are human, then why are they even involved in this? That was a big question for me. You know, like, you know about all this stuff. And we go there, as you see in the film, like we talk about sex scandals. We talk about celibacy. We talk about everything. Talk about sort of how the seminary system doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. And yet you guys are great. And we're happy that we followed you and we got to know you in your life and went to your homes in Detroit and Portugal and all over the world. I still don't understand why you want to do this. Makes no sense to me. And I think we gave them a bit of a playing ground to be able to at least explain their reasoning. And they have their reasons, so that's what it is.
Yeah, it really is interesting. Like there, and first of all, I think that I'm glad that you highlighted, you know, some of the pain that has been caused as well. You know, we've talked about the abuse scandals and whatnot is in the film, but. I mean, the people you're covering, like these are men who have not been involved in those things. And I think one of them at the end says, you don't have to be superhuman to be a priest. You have to be human.
Yeah.
And there's this idea that in this film that we highlight the humanity of these people that are involved in it. I love that is a key part of this. My question is it unfair? Do you think that it's unfair of us to hold them to such high standards? Like there's one of them leaves because he decides to start a family and it's a big scandal. And it's like,
well, get some kids, big deal. No. And, that's a great question. We don't have to hold them to any standards. No. I mean, I'm not religious, so I didn't hold them to any standards. I think they have some explaining to do. Yeah. And I don't say that in like an arms crossed, like convince me kind of way. I mean, you do understand that what you're representing has a lot of issues, like a ton of issues. You can't have kids. Like what, look at all the news. There's news coming out every week about something new. Are you going to be the one that changes that? Are you like you? I'll treat you on a different standard if you think that you have the ability to affect change. Maybe, but you're not. You put a t-shirt on like me, and we go for a beer. And you're not superhuman. You had a calling, or you had something that makes you feel like you want to be. You know, you're in this world. But no, I don't know. I don't think I didn't put them on a pedestal in any way.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you mentioned there the nature of calling. And that's a key theme that sort of runs throughout this. And I was wondering what that means to you. And was there any stories that surprised you about the priest that you talked to?
I think so. I co-directed this with a guy, Chris Kelly. He's from Vancouver. We both worked at CBC together for years. And we always wanted to make something together. Chris grew up Catholic and I didn't at all. And I've never co-directed really. I've always been the director, and I'm really happy we co-directed this one. There's two different people who grew up a different way. And I never wanted to just sort of force my idea of like a calling to me is a joke. This is hilarious. This is like, this might as well be a comic book. That's how ridiculous some of the things they do, the statements, like the mask that they have. I'm rolling my eyes at it. But Chris has a different respect for it. He grew up with it. He understands it. There's a different faith and belief system. And I think overall, That I don't know if I'm answering your question, but
great.
I think, you know, what I had a different, I learned a lot about faith and why these people might care, and why they might be into it, where before I might've just dismissed it. I think just going through it with them, I was like, okay, you know what? You have your reason and you've made sense of it. I still think it's a little whack, but you've made sense of it.
Did you get the sense from any of them that they regretted the decision, that, you know, they're sort of different responses amongst different leads within the film?
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you said there's somebody in this film that's going to be kicked out of the priesthood and there's a scandal, I don't think you would have picked Father Oscar from those first early shots of him. I think Duarte gives you some questions of unreasoning. I think even Grayson at some points gives you some questions of unreasoning. I think they all do. I think that this is really difficult. I think it's, you know, like I said, it's like that year going to college, or that year, it's like that last year of college where you are wondering what you should do with your life, and it can go anywhere. Mm. The problem with them is it can't go anywhere. And so you really question it. What I liked about creating sort of humanity around them is that that's okay to question things. Mm. And for them, it's God that brings them back. It's faith. It's all that brings them back. For me, it's making choices in my life that help me with my questioning. And so that was where I was relating with it. But, yeah, I think they all had some sort of like, they had issues with it. I think they all had, they're all questioning. They're young guys, and this is for the rest of their life.
Yeah. I mean, you do a great job of following them and some of the questions they have, and I forget which one it is, but one of them says how, he was dating this girl and it looked like they were going to get married. And then he had to say, oh, by the way, and I think he says she didn't come to my ordination or something like that. And I thought, man, that must have been really tough for, not even just for him, for her to say, yeah, I'm leaving you for the priesthood. That's what a tough thing.
I think these are, like, we wanted to explore all those elements of like sport and love, mm, loneliness, and, you know, freedom and individuality. And, you know, they're all huge themes that I also, like, in my life take really seriously, you know, and so I question if anyone's on a different system than me. When I think of freedom, I'm like, I don't like having a job and people telling me what to do. That's why I got into filmmaking. I can go do this myself. And so, you know, I even have a conversation with anyone who has like a 9-to-5 and go, oh, okay, I just want to hear the other sides of what I'm missing. This is like times 10 of that. Like, I want to hear the other sides of what I'm missing. I'm completely controlled by somebody named God. And it's like, no, they felt they felt freedom in that. So it's everyone who's an individual. The problem, my big problem is that you can be an individual all you want, but if you represent something, you better be ready to explain to people why. I don't want to like equate it to anything like being a Trump supporter or anything, because that's not the right, I'm trying to think of like the right sort of analogy that could help. But yeah, if you're a salesman for a company, you better be ready to like actually show me with your words and your eyes that you can sell that thing. And there was this element to me that even if you are a great individual, why are you a part of this system? It still hasn't fully made that much sense to me, but they have their reasons.
Yeah. And not only that, like you talk about them selling a product, they have to believe in the product they're selling. They always tell you, right? You know, you don't sell a vacuum cleaner that you don't think works.
Yeah.
So there's got to be something there. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. And so like, so then there's a scandal that comes out. There's something that comes up. What happened in Canada just recently?
Yeah.
And I don't ever want to put this is just another example of so many examples throughout the years, but like, you have to comment on that. you are truly representing the Catholic Church at this point. You know, there was a point where we were getting Vatican sign off on this to use the footage and be at those soccer tournaments. And it was very like, the conversation was, oh, good, you're doing a different kind of Catholic film. And I was like, no, we're not. What do you mean? What do you mean by that when you say that? What do you mean by we're doing a different kind of Catholic film? Do you, if you mean that we're not going to go to the subjects and the, and the, and the conversations that everyone's having, you're wrong. Like we're going to make our film. You're not going to have any say on that. We just want to represent the soccer tournament because we think it's pretty cool. And I think that's the black and white. There's still humans there, and there's still some things that are happening that are good. And I saw that firsthand.
Yeah. I think from their perspective, I think that's probably what they view as a different kind of Catholic film.
Yes, yes.
Because the stories of abuse, there have been countless over the years, countless. But, you know, and you do tackle those issues. One of the things I wanted to ask you is how those stories have affected the characters, or I call them characters because they're on a film, but the subjects of your documentary about, because as far as we are aware, and you know, they're not involved in these things, but they're being viewed through a certain lens now because of them.
I think it was Grayson or Duarte said it the best. I was, you know, cause I pride on that a lot. And, it was almost like an ongoing joke with me where I was like, cool, now that you explained it, can you explain again exactly why you're in this? And oh, that's a great response. I'm sorry, can you explain again why you're in this? And it was just this ongoing funny thing that we would joke because it was so ironic to me. But Grayson said it right to me. He said it the best, which was he feels that he knows this stuff exists, and he needs to get in there and make a change. And there's a young generation of them that needs to make a change. And they're very aware that they have a responsibility to make a change. And that, great, let's see it. That was my sort of like, okay, that's great to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. Shifting gears a little bit, back to tournament. I was just wondering, like, their view of competitiveness. I mean, you know, none of these guys are Cristiano Ronaldo or any of these guys.
No, they're not.
None of them are. But I was wondering what you think the tournament represents to them and what competitiveness looks like.
It's a really great question. The tournament represents, honestly, like I think even like most sport, I grew up playing junior hockey. It is a emotional, it is a physical break from reality, from what you're going through. Everyone has pressures in their life. And that's what I realized. It wasn't like, oh, a break from just, you know, having to be a priest all the time. That must be hard. And it's like, they chose to be a priest. They like this life. That's their life. I have to sort of take out my opinion of it. The soccer and the tournament and the competitiveness is just a break from, you know, a break from your everyday. And that's the same as when you play hockey and you miss it. You miss it later when you're not playing competitive sports. And so that's what it really was for them. The camaraderie, I think, you know, like the idea of teamwork. Priesthood can be somewhat of a lonely and self-driven sort of profession and job and life. You're working with other priests. You're here. It's like you're in Rome. It's a moment in time. The competitiveness got a little out of hand at some points. Like it was real at some points. You're seeing priests getting yellow cards and red cards and stuff. I'm like,
blue card.
You're not reacting like a priest should, but you'd leave it all on the field. I mean, that's sort of their, I think it allows them a little bit of that release to just be a person for a second.
Well, I can tell you this, that I grew up in the church, and they will tell you that the worst leagues to play in are the church leagues. It's not because of the competitive, or it's not because like the style of play. It's just because for some reason, they're just like people get rough. You're like, I'd expect something different. Nope.
Yeah. It's a, so you grew up in the church. That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, what do you think of the institution? What do you think of the film? What do you think of the humanity of priesthood? What do you think do you think we were light on them? Do you think we were too hard on them? I would love to hear your opinion as someone who grew up in this.
No, well, I'll even go you one more. Not only did I grow up in the church, I'm a pastor. not a priest, and my kids are slowly edging into the door. So, no, I thought I loved the film because I felt like it was. I felt that you told a story that was fair to the people that were involved. And I thought, and that's one of the reasons too, I was glad when you got into the issues because so often or not, like there is either a fear, if we're giving a positive view of the church on screen, there can be a fear of a repercussion because like, well, don't you understand all the other stuff going on? Like this stuff that went on, that was revealed a couple of weeks ago in BC is horrific.
Yeah.
It's horrific. The church needs to own that.
Yeah.
Whether or not, you know, we did it now, somebody did it then.
Yeah.
And the church needs to own that. And so I loved the film. I thought it was great. And,
I really appreciate it. I appreciate your opinion on it from what you've done. And so Chris Kelly's dad is a deacon. That's how we got connected. Ken Kelly, he's a deacon. But you know, married, has kids, everything. And I'd say like a, you know, very new age in terms of the thinking of a lot of this. And I just really liked getting all sides to it. And that's exactly why I said I loved co-directing this, because you either get a film that's black or white. That's what you get here. You get really pro positive Christian films that are put out usually by, you know, Christian production companies and they're
off bad. It's okay.
Off pretty bad. But I'm going to go the other way, that like a hardcore journalist angle of just going crazy hardcore on the negative. You know, a lot of people have faith and get some great things out of this, and they get values in a different system. So you got to see both. Like, I didn't want to go, this isn't black and white, and there are individuals in there. And, you know, like I've done like commercial work for companies that on the outside, people don't always love, you know, they're not like lovable companies. And I've found that the individuals I meet in those companies, mind you, mine is just freelance and I move on really quick. It's, you know, commercial, you know, visual project or a actual commercial, but the people I meet in there are extremely sweet and extremely great. And it's like, okay, so what's, is it the brand that so I always equate it to sort of anything that I can in my life. And it's not black and white. And you said it right. There has to be an ownership. There has to be an ownership to some of these topics. And I would say those guys don't shy away from being ready to take on that ownership. They're walking into their 30s and they said, we have the spotlight, the ability and the power to do something. And we're ready to do that. And I thought that was pretty admirable. That's why I really got along with them too.
Yeah. They seem all like great guys. And like I said, the fact that you highlighted the humanity of them, I thought was fantastic, because I think what you're showing is, you know, there's real people underneath the smock, if you will, you know, and I appreciated that. I thought it was great.
You know, and it's real people. It's also, it's just people underneath the smock. That's the other thing. There's actually humans here, and, whether they're great humans or bad, or they've done something right or wrong or had secret kids or whatever, they're humans and they have choices, and that's what I wanted to show. Like, I didn't even want to make sure that you saw Grayson in a great way or you saw Duarte in a great way. I left it that to them. Right? I left that to like, I'm going to let you talk, and I don't know if you've as an individual have talked. And it got really very real. Like some of our best interviews are like, Steve, I'll tell you, they weren't really interviews. There was like no call sheet, no crew, me and Chris with a camera. Then we went for beers with Duarte and we just were like, you're talking, let me just roll on this if you're cool. And it's just like camera here. I didn't even frame it up. It probably looked like that, you know, and it didn't matter. It was like, this is what we're getting. And this is honest. And that's what I wanted. And it's a little bit of it's a veer away from the comedy stuff that I do in that sense, where some parts are quirky and funny. And then some parts aren't meant to be joked about. Yeah, that was a huge, I really liked that we went there with the film. We went to a place that it can't all just be fun and games. You gotta hit something here. So
yeah, no, it honestly, Brent, I'm not just saying this as I'm speaking to you. It's a great film.
Oh, thanks, man. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great. And it's on, It'll be on Crave on the 28th. Is that right?
We're doing June 28th is a Crave launch in Canada. Gravitas Ventures is taking the world rights to this. So it's going to be all over everywhere from US, globally, Europe, Australia on June 29th, same day, basically, with time difference. And we are, mind the pun again, kicking this off at the Kicking and Screening Film Festival, which is a New York soccer film festival. On June 28th as well, we're doing a virtual Q&A with the priests and everybody. So it's going to be a little treat. It'll be fun.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Yeah. Honestly, Brent, thanks so much for chatting with me. I really appreciate it. And wish you the best. I mean, it sounds like you're really busy. So
yeah. Oh yeah. And that was the stuff we're doing now is super fun. And it's going into the same realm. This film really helped us get into like this comedic realm, but make sure you hit those points. So like we're doing a doc series on Viagra, which is like very controversial, and like Pfizer, and it's wild, but it's also extremely funny. Like it's a drug that was made by mistake. They're trying to do a heart medication, and all the men started getting boners.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
So it's like it's the similar world where we're like, let's find her. Okay, we see the sports doc. What does a pharmaceutical doc look like for us? You know, Oscar, by the way, just to give you one little last thing, he didn't want to participate in this once he had his kid and stuff. It took us a really long time to get a hold of him. And it was because of COVID that we finally were able to get him on Zoom and talk. And we said, I want to meet your kid. Like, let's meet your life. That took a kudos to Chris Kelly. Like that relationship that he made with these priests and the trust, that was a huge moment to get him. The Catholic Church, you know, canceled his email address, his phone, everything. We couldn't find this guy. And he moved to Spain, started a business, and he was ready, finally ready to go. Okay. You know what? The world needs to at least know what my side. So that's powerful stuff. You know, I'm really happy I didn't feel the film was done until we got Oscar.
I'm glad you did actually. It's sort of that, cause if he had just disappeared, I think it would have been, he had a family, like hear what I'm saying, but it would have come off as so much more shameful.
Yeah.
If he just disappeared into the night. And I love that he shows up at the end on Zoom and it's like, yeah, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
We had two kids. Good for you.
Yeah, I mean, that was my thing. I was like, I wasn't even remotely shocked. It was so. Again, this goes back to like co-directing this with Chris Kelly is the best thing I could have ever done. So that I didn't have my one side of things the way I grew up. And I grew up like my dad's atheist. We grew up. It's just so foreign to me. I needed someone to. Yeah, you know, just explain the intricacies of it. Like there's details there and they're beautiful and they're real too. You know, there is some beauty there, and that just like in anything that can be looked at as evil, there is also beauty. I love the exploration with Chris through this project. I would have never done it any other way. So I'm happy it worked. And I got to go to Rome a lot. That was super fun.
That's true. That's a huge plus.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Thanks so much, Brent. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. We'll talk soon.
Perfect. Thanks so much.
Okay, man. Talk soon.
Yep. Bye. Bye.